There you go. Well, good to be with you folk this afternoon. Listen over to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. So it's good last night watching the teens and young adults at that dinner, getting around like kookaburras and everything. I did ask Pastor Mark why there wasn't any chickens or roosters. I said, no, we'll just leave that one alone. So we always, if you weren't there, what do you mean by that? Oh, if you weren't there last night, you missed it.
Yes.
You had to find your own group, and you had to sound like one of four birds. And, you know, there was a kookaburra and a rosella. I don't know who thought of rosella. I like the crows. Even before he said crow, I said to my wife, I said, he would have a crow. Now we have crows. All these people getting around. So it was a riot watching everybody. We're going to be in Psalm 100 today. As I gave thought to speaking to this group of people, I tried to look back on my life, where I was at in my young adulthood, and whatever hood or ship it is, and I was just trying to think, where was I at? And this psalm sort of like puts in a nutshell some things that I wish I knew then that I know now. You ever seen those things? What would you write to your younger self? Well, you're too young to write to your younger selves, aren't you? But when you start getting a bit of age on you, you can look back and think, "What? I wish I knew that then." I like asking missionaries and men in ministry, what do you know now that you wish you knew when you started? And I'll tell you, I wish I knew. We don't know what we don't know until we need to know it. And by the time we need to know it, we don't know it. And then we're trying to figure, well, how do I learn to do on-the-job training? And Christian life sometimes is on-the-job training. You go through, oh, I wish I knew that. I wish I'd... And we go back. So we're going to be in Psalm 100. Let's open in a word of prayer first. Our Father, God, how we need thee this morning. Lord, it's been good to be in church. And Father, I ask that you'd please help us here, Lord, as we take some time to open your word again. I pray, God, there'd be a liberty here this morning in the pulpit to minister your word. I pray, God, for that inspiration, for the Holy Spirit of God to speak. And God, for these folk to hear. And may, God, they get something that's going to help them. Lord, help us, we pray, Father, to have a closer walk with thee. Lord, to walk taller, to walk as conquerors. And we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. We see, as the psalm starts there, we see some noise. Make a joyful noise. These things are just by way of introduction. We see a joyful noise. Now, in our churches, you know, that joyful noise, well, our churches can be sometimes filled with a holy grunt. You hear something great. Oh, that's great. But a joyful noise is, that's a joyful grunt. And sometimes, you know, man, it's a joyful noise. It doesn't always have to be pleasant to the ear. I was in a church once, and the lady playing the piano, she was an accomplished pianist. But there's a guy that would sit on the front row. Sorry, Brother Dennison, but there's a guy sitting over here where Giffo's sitting, and he would sing to his heart's content, and he was so bad he'd put her off. A joyful noise. And folks, a joyful noise. Sing a joyful noise. Have a joyful noise. It talks about a noise there. But notice there, it talks about service. And serving the Lord with gladness. And If you're not serving the Lord with gladness, probably good to stop serving. You're a bad testimony. You're a bad advertisement. You want someone that's going to have a good advertisement, don't you? I tell you, serving the Lord is great. It's good and it's a blessing. You learn a lot. You learn along the way. You learn what to do. You learn what not to do. But it talks about service. Come into His presence with singing. Ah, well, maybe the joyful noise isn't quite audible, but there it says singing. I work out in the coal mines in central Queensland. I'm a tradie. And there'll be some guys, they'll be getting along singing a song or whistling. They'll be doing something. And I say, now stop that. And they look at me and I says, singing and humming is a sign of happiness. If the company sees that you're happy at work, they're going to change your conditions. Just leave it alone. And they're looking at you like, really? I said, I'm messing with you. Just keep on singing whatever it is. And they get down the road. You know, Christian, sing. It's so much easier to sing when the grace of God has done, when you've experienced the grace of God and you can sing. Man, if you sing like old mate on the front row, man, have at it. You know, man, go for it. If you sing melodious, we're all envious. Okay? If you sing really nice, we're envious. We wish we could do that. But we can't. But sing. But this is what I want to get to this morning. Verse 3. This afternoon. Man, I've begun already. I've gone from morning to evening. Afternoon. Verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. He says, I want you to know this. I want you to know that the Lord, He is God. Colon. It is He that made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. If you'll learn that verse, the truth of it, it's going to help you. Now let's break it down into three areas. Number one, it says there, it is He that made us and not we ourselves. Now, with that thought, come over to Jeremiah. Hold your place here. Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. Paul says, the psalmist writes, know ye. Now, Paul over in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, he said, that I may know him. That I may know him. Do you know, young adult, it's possible for you to know God? He's not so high and lift up. He's not so far away. He's not so distant. You can know him. You can walk with him day after. Think of the greatest saint that you know, and you can walk with him just like that greatest saint. You can know him. And young adults, if you'll know him when you're young, you can just keep walking and walking and walking. It said that the child Samuel heard God's voice. If I called any of you a child, you'd be offended. Oh, you're a child. Oh, I am not. Be all indignant. No, I'm not. I'm in grade 12. Oh, good for you. If you're still in grade 12 and you're in your 20s, you're in trouble. It says the child Samuel knew God's voice. You reckon you can know God's voice? Was it only for your pastor? Or was it only for your parents? Is it only for that missionary? That Paul, the psalmist said, know ye. There's some things you've got to know. Firstly, I want you to know God made you. He made you exactly as you are today. He made you.
Do you know that? You'll know it here, but you don't think it here. Because if I gave every one of you a piece of paper and a pen, and I said to you, write down on that piece of paper what you would change about yourself. And I reckon you'd come up with more than one. Because God made you exactly as you need to be for his purpose. Jeremiah 1, look at Jeremiah 1. Verse 4, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. So Jeremiah was a prophet, not just to the nation of Judah, the kingdom of Judah. But he was a prophet to the nations. You get to the end of Jeremiah's writing, and he has words of prophecy. I think it's to 11 different countries. That was for that time, the near future of that time, and for our future still. God said, Jeremiah, I've called you. But notice as that verse starts, he says, I formed thee. I formed in the belly. I formed thee in the belly. Before I formed in the belly, I knew thee. That word knew, if you look up an old dictionary, one of the definitions of that word knew, the word know, is to choose, to favour. Before Jeremiah was born, God had in mind what he was going to do with Jeremiah, and he made him suitable for what he had in mind for Jeremiah. That's come up 2018. God has made each of you exactly the way you need to be for a purpose that he has for you for your life now. So what is it? What would you like to change about yourself? I look around the group, different ethnic backgrounds. What, you don't like the colour of your skin, maybe? Is it too light? Is it too dark? It's not even. What is it, your hair? You don't like the colour of your hair? Sorry, Giffo. Some hair turns grey, some turns loose. Now one of my sons, my oldest, he's got more grey hair than me. And oh, do I give it to him? I give it to him. And obviously he's got a verse of scripture and he says, well, Dad, the young men have the strength, the old men have the grey hair. He said, I've got both. Oh, he's got me again. No wonder he went through school all that time. What is it? Is it your hair? You want to have long hair, but you can't. You want to have short hair, but you can't. Your hair's turning grey. It's turning loose. It's turning what? Ladies, sorry to pick on you ladies. If you've got curly hair, you want it straight. If you want straight hair, you want it curly. Now, why is that? I'm even more worried when guys want to curl their hair. That sort of worries me. Now if anybody's doing that, man, you're going back to the 80s. Oh, big hair. But what is it? Are you too tall? Are you too short? Are you too... Well, are you too skinny? Or are you too, shall we say, plus-sized? Now, we can't say fat. That's not politically correct. So we'll say plus-sized, you know. Well, what is it? You already know. You know what you would change about you is that your teeth, they're too straight, they're too crooked, too gappy, too rotten, too nice. What is it? What would you change? But God's made you just the way you are for a purpose that he has for you. And yet you want to change. You don't think I want to change? I was born without it. They took me away, cleaned me up, brought me back, and I had it. Today, if that had happened, there'd be all sorts of litigation. What happened? What happened? What happened? People ask me about it, I say, God gave it to me. I can use you. You say, well, but can't you get rid of it? I could. But you know the problem? Two problems. Number one, God gave it to me. Number two, I'm still left with me on the inside. Is it really going to change? Because I've still got me inside. You change about you, whatever you want to change about you, but I'm telling you, what's on the inside is still going to mess with you. Change this, change that, enhance that, take that away, whatever it is. But God made you. He made you with the right amount of brains, the right learning capabilities, everything. He gave you exactly, before you were born, he gave you exactly what you needed to accomplish his work, to accomplish what he has for you, for the glory of God. And people will say, God's given them grace. And they couldn't have done that but by God's grace. Learn as young people, as young adults. He made you. You've heard of the self-made man? Self-made man is a poor excuse or a poor advertisement for a building project. Because God's given you everything you already need. You see, he made you. How you were made was God's gift to you. What you do with what God's given you is your gift to him. Because you can glorify him by being you and doing and fulfilling his will in your life. Learn it as a young person, please. As a young adult, learn it. We live in a day and age where it's all about fat shaming, skinny shaming, mum shaming, all this shame. Who even thinks of all this stuff? But they come up with it. Man, get over it. You have a loving Heavenly Father that made you for a purpose. And in his love, he shaped you as a vessel that he can use. Oh, well, I'll never be like them. To be honest, you don't want to be like them. I sometimes wish I was taller. Man, I'd love to play football and be taller. But no, I was always average. I was always boys bigger than me. Oh, I wish I was smarter. No. My wife, she uses $3 words. You know, one time before we were married, she said, oh, you're a buffoon. I thought you called me a baboon. Because I never heard of such a word. I said, what's that? What did you call me a monkey for? She said, I didn't call you a monkey. I called you a baboon. What's that? A clown. Well, why didn't you say clown? But you're not. You're a baboon. She uses $3 words. I use dollar words. Everybody gets what I say. But my wife, she comes up with these words. I said, you made that word up, didn't you? She's really good at crosswords. We started doing crosswords together. And so we started doing them. Now I said, no. I do my own crossword. She said, but aren't we doing these together? I am. I start and I go as far as I can. Then I give it to you and you finish it off and get the glory for it. But it's not doing it together. That's together. I'm doing my part. You're doing your part. We're all different. We're all wired different. Be content with you and what you've got. Because there's a role, a place, a ministry, something that you can glorify God with. Because he made you. Number two, it says in that verse, have a look at the last part of that verse. He has made us, back to Psalm 100, verse 3, and it says, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. You know he's your shepherd. Know this, that he's your maker. He created you. He made you. But number two, he's your shepherd. Know this. No, he is your shepherd. It's not Dr. Google, Brother Google, Pastor Google. Stop Googling stuff and go to your shepherd, your pastor, and ask. Dad, why don't you do this? I said, I'd rather pay a few extra bucks and talk to somebody face to face instead of some kook on the end playing on his keyboard. I want service. I want to talk to somebody. I like hanging around preachers and talking to preachers. Why? I want to see their heart. I want to see their heart. I want to see what they're like. I want to learn from their heart. It's great reading books and it's great doing it, but it's all, man, good around people. But he's your shepherd. Do you know him as your shepherd? That he would lead you and guide you. Allow him to lead you and allow him to guide you and be the shepherd of your life and to guide you in the way. Our generation, your generation, it's harder and harder to find young people now going to pastors and youth leaders and talking and building relationships, because if they've got a question, they'll go to Google. But you don't get the heart of it. That's the problem. It's about our Lord being our shepherd. He says, know this. He says, I want you to know this. God made you. He also said, he is your shepherd. You know, he feeds you and he guides you in the way. He makes sure the path is clear about the wolves and those that would come in. He's already watching. He's watching over. He's going before. Do you know that? Learn it as a young person. Learn it. Be led. Be leadable. Be leadable. Young people, young people aren't leadable, but that's not right. This generation is not leadable. Because even people my age, as old as I am, all of 53, if they don't agree with the pastor, they'll go online and look for and find out why. And, oh, I agree with him. I agree with him. I agree with her. Well, what have they done? Just because you don't agree? We're in a generation where everybody wants their rights. Yeah. Got to have it. I want my way. I deserve it. No, we deserve to be in hell with our backs broken. But he's our shepherd. He's the one that's guided us in the way. He's the one, the shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He laid down his life for you. If he's willing to lay down his son, if the son was willing to lay down his life, the father gave the son laid it down. Romans 8, where we were this morning, over in the main auditorium, it said, how shall he not freely give us all things? If he gave his son, do you think he's going to hold out on you and keep something back? Come on, be honest. He gave his son, but no, I don't want that because I got this. This is what I want. The shepherd of your soul has something far greater for you than what you have for you. But we have to get to the point of saying, do I want what he's got, or do I want what I want? And about giving up our lives. Because that leads us to how that started. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. Is he your Lord and your God? Learn to submit your will to the will of the shepherd. He made you. He knows exactly what you're good for. I know this fella in the States, a preacher in the States, and he has a little shop that he makes some money, helps support things. And it's a bit of a junk store, and somebody come to him and said, "Oh, what's this used for?" He always smiles and says, "What would you like it to be used for?" He's trying to make a sale. And they say, "Oh, this or this. Oh, I think that could just about do that for you." He smiles, and they know he's having a go. But you know, the Lord made you. He knows how to use this tool for the right job. I've got a whole bunch of tools. I'm a trader. I've got a whole lot of tools. And you use the right tools for the right job. The Lord has right tools here. And he's got the right job for each of those tools. There are some tools I have. I might only pull out once a year. But when I need that tool, I need that tool. I've got to have it. And what happens when you don't? Well, that's when you go to the screwdriver. Or you go to the shifter. You go to something. And they'll say, "Hey, Neil, don't you have..." I had one around here somewhere. I just don't know where it is. God's got a whole lot of tools. And he might only use you once a year. But he knows he's got the right tool for the right job for him to have the glory. And it's not you. Young adult. Know ye. Three things we're to know. We are to know. Number one, he made us. He made us exactly. The finest detail. The finest. It says in Psalm 139, fearfully and wonderfully made. With whatever flaws you think you have, whatever flaws the Kardashians think you have, or anybody else thinks you have, no. You're perfect. Complete. Everything that you have for this life, you have. Well, I'm just going to sit at home and it's all going to be beamed in my head. No, God expects you to use some common sense and to use what mental faculties you have and learn and train and become proficient. My tools are, I keep a good edge on the chisels that I have, and the hammers I make sure they don't get rounded off, the shifting spanners, the spanners, I make sure there's no little burrs on them, I make sure they're in good order, ready to go. But God can use you. Don't let anybody talk you down. You might just believe their lie. Personal testimony. Growing up in school, I never thought I'd get married. The way I was teased, I thought I must be so ugly, no girl's going to want to marry. When I finished school, I planned for a life of just being single. I believed what they said. I wish I knew this then. My wife says, "Darling, I don't even see your birth mother." I say, "Are you retarded?" Because every time I go in the mirror, I see it. She says, "Darling, we don't see it." I thought she was smart, figured all the words, but she can't even see back. Hitler said, if you say it long enough and loud enough, I'll believe it. If people keep telling you long enough and loud enough, you'll believe them.
Throw it away. Throw it away. Because God gave you the truth. He made you. And it says in Revelation 4 and verse 11, He said He created all things. What for? His pleasure. You know, just the way you are, you bring Him pleasure. I'm pleased to pick up that tool that I need when I need it. Wow, I'm glad I got that. How'd you do that, Neil? I got this. I pull it out. Oh, how'd you do that? Oh, I had to shape it a little bit to get in there, but that's what I did. You know, God's going to work on us. He's going to shape us. He's going to continue. But He's your shepherd. Allow Him to lead you and to feed you and to minister to you, because He's only got the best for you in mind. But know ye that the Lord, He is God. Thomas says, my Lord and my God. I want you to know Him as your Lord. He is my Lord. He is my God. I'm going to allow Him to have complete sway in my life and allow Him to guide me in the steps of my life. And I'm going to continue on. The chapter starts with noise. Now look how the chapter, Psalm 100 finishes. It starts with noise, serving the Lord with gladness, come before the Lord, come before His presence with singing. He says those things. Then He says, know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Then He says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. You know, when you know that the Lord, He is God, when you know that He made you, when you know that He's your shepherd, you're going to, verse 4, enter into His gates with thanksgiving. You're going to be thankful. And into His courts with praise, there's going to be praise. And then you're going to bless His name. Because then you realize, I'm me. I'm letting God just work on me. And He's shaping me. God's not finished with me yet. You know why you're not dead? Because God still has something for you to do. That's why you're not dead. He's got a life. He's got something for you to accomplish. And when that's been accomplished, you're of no use down here anymore. He'll take you home. Thanksgiving, thankfulness, blessing His name. Why? For the Lord is good. Oh, do you know how good He's been to you? You look at your own flaws. You're looking, you're making your own decisions, be your own man. You ever seen how good God's been? That's why you can be thankful. Sometimes the pity party will start and you think, man, they've got it worse than me. But look what they're doing. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. That's why we can be thankful, praise Him, bless Him, because of His nature and who He is. The way He leads us, the way He's made us, and who He is to us. We've got a great God, young people. We've got a great God. Give up listening to what this world has to say. Give up listening to what the devil has to say. Accusing you. Oh, you're not as good as them, are you? Yeah. Look at you. You think you're going to do something? Yeah, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do that. Just look at you. Wake up to yourself. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right again, devil. Yeah. It sounds stupid, doesn't it? But you'll believe it. You'll believe it, and it'll hold you back. The devil is an expert accuser. He accuses you to God. He accuses God to you. He accuses you to you. He accuses brethren to each other, sisters to each other, brothers to sisters, sisters to brothers. Oh, he's good. Just have a listen to where it comes from and see. Has it come from truth? His truth endureth all generations. This truth, I'm telling you this morning, get a hold of it. If God gives you another 50 years, you're stuck inside of you for a lot more time yet. But let God be God. But no, he is God. And God, I trust you. Turn it over with heads bowed and eyes closed. Yes, just take a few minutes this morning. What is it, young people? Please don't be discontent with yourself. Please don't be discontent. Turn it loose. Lord, I'm sorry for criticizing the work. You know, I don't like my work being criticized. Actually, I hate it. When you know you've done it right and someone comes along thinking they know better, I hate it. I wonder what the Lord thinks when we consider the workmanship of his hands. Lord, I'm sorry for criticizing your work. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm made for your pleasure. Please, young people, live lives for the pleasure and the glory of God. And do the best you can with what you've got. And trust God to give you exactly what you need, when you need it, how you need it. Just trust me. Take him as your shepherd. Allow him to guide you. To be the shepherd of your life. He gave his life. And he's the Lord God. The Lordship of Christ. May he have first place. Not a prominent place, but a preeminent place. Father, I thank you for the scriptures. And Lord God, have it been a help to me in some things I wish I'd learned when I was younger. Lord, would you raise up a generation of young people here, young adults that would know thee, that would know the sound of your voice, they would trust you as their shepherd, as their Lord God, as their maker. And God, you know, open their eyes to what you have for them. And may God, they be conquerors. Get over these things and Father, courageously serve you. Lord, would you bless the rest of our day, give us an afternoon of rest. Meet with us tonight. Touch the service tonight, the preaching, the teaching, the singing, all of it, Father. We commit unto thee now. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.